Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Gimel of Sefer Yecheskel, the 13th chapter of the book of Yecheskel. Towards the end of the previous chapter, and in the previous chapter, we saw that one of the struggles that Yecheskel had to battle against, and Yirmiyahu as well, was the presence of Nevi'ei Sheker, of those who were claiming to be Nevi'im as much as Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel, but their Nevuot did not meet up with, or did not match, those that Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu were saying. And this was a problem because therefore the Jewish people had the ability to think that they were following a Navi, or at least that they didn't have any deep need to follow Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, because there were these competing notions of what the future would look like. I likened it to, and I think it's not a terrible analogy, to, let's say, political commentators and things like that, where there are liberals, there are conservatives, there are this, there are that. Who knows who's right? So here too, and there it may be true, but in the case of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, here you have Nevi'ei Hashem, and they're having a struggle not only with getting people to follow what they have to say, but even people being able to admit that what they say is the Dvar Hashem. So Perek Yud Gimel is dedicated to that topic. Pasuk Aleph starts with Vahid Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor. Pasuk Bet Ben Adam Hi Navei El Nevei Yisrael Hanibaim VeAmart LeNevi'ei Milibam Shemu Dvar Hashem. So now this is a nevuah directed at these people, these false Nevi'im. Now, Nevi'ei Milibam means they prophesy out of their, so the JPS English has out of their imagination, the Radak has it as they say it from their hearts, not that they saw it, and they haven't had this vision. So one of the questions I would want to raise about that, I think it's not that I think it's untrue, it's that I wonder whether they don't have the vision, and they know they don't have the vision, and they are so evil as to completely lie about the fact that they have a nevuah, when in fact they had no nevuah whatsoever. Or is it possible that they fool themselves into thinking that they have nevuah, and they produce these nevuot, and they say, this is what I'm producing, this is my understanding of what Hashem wants, and they claim it to be nevuah. Halacha lemaise, meaning in terms of what we of whether they deserve to be punished, and whether they're wrong, and whether they're bad, I don't know that it makes that much of a difference. But it's an interesting question to struggle with. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim does give the impression that the faculty of imagination plays a role in the process of nevuah, even the process of true nevuah, of accurate nevuah. So I could imagine a person of great imagination coming to have an experience that is an imaginative experience, and coming to think to himself and to tell himself, oh, I just had a nevuah, and to believe it in that way. So that heightens the problem, the struggle, the issue that we need to be aware of. It's not just that you, as an evil, bad person, but you and I would never do such a thing. But it could be that there are people who come to understand that they too have imagination, they too are people of substance, and therefore what they see in their imaginations, what their vision, we can use these words today, people use these words today, right? Their artistic imagination, their artistic contribution, whatever it would be, that those two would be the kinds of things they would experience as being relevant. So, one or the other. So here it's Nevi'ei Milibam, and the question is, are they charlatans, or are they misguided people? But either way, they create the same destructiveness for the Jewish people. Pasuk Gimel says, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim Hoyal HaNevi'im HaNivalim. So Nivalim, a Nival is often just a bad person. So the JPS has a degenerate person. Strikingly, I think, Rashi understands the word as Hashotim, the foolish people, the idiots. So again, if they know that they're lying, I would have thought Nivalim would be taken more as people who are evil, like Naval in Sefer Shmuel, like just bad person, unrefined people, people do evil. Here, if Rashi thinks they're Shotim, it might be that they asher holchim acharu cham lovit ra'u. So Pasuk Gimel ends with, they follow their spirits, and they haven't seen a vision. So the JPS wants to hold up that they go after Rucham, and it says, who followed their own fancy, which would, again, imply a certain willfulness to it. But if it's Alchim Achar Rucham, is that they actually had something, they had some kind of experience, but they're supposed to recognize that that was not Nivuah, and it wasn't a prophetic experience, so that will be a different kind of a reading of the word Nivalim. Pasuk Dalet continues with that question because the pasuk compares them to Keshualim b'charavot Nevi'echa Yisrael Hayu. They have been like jackals among the ruins, have been your prophets. So jackals among the ruins. Certainly jackals, we know what they are, and they run around the ruins. And then Rashi says, so when you come to this ruin to sort of visit it, to be there, to use it, there are various uses you can put even to a ruined building, the Shual runs away, Rashi says, al derech peretz acheret, by another hole. It doesn't stand to fight with you about it. So if that's what the comparison to Shualim b'charavot is in terms of this Nivyei Sheker, what it means is that they are hanging around in a destroyed area, and they're not willing and they're not courageous enough to fight for what they believe in. That's not adding to the destruction, it's that they're not doing what they should be doing. So that, I think, might fit in more with the idea that these are foolish people, they're shotim, as Rashi said, and then Nevi'im Milibam might mean that they really think that they saw something, but they didn't see anything. And they're just not paying attention to it. But the Radak goes with the other direction of it. Kishwalim Mechablim Bakramim, so he says they go into a place where a fence or a wall of an orchard or a vineyard or whatever it is has broken down, and they destroy the kerem, the vineyard, and the Jewish people have often been compared in Navi to a kerem, and he brings psukim that say that, and so he says they're like that. And the peretz, he says, is an analogy, a metaphor for the breach, for those who have lack of faith. So when the Nevi'ei Sheker, when the false prophets come along and they say things that they want to hear, that will lead them in the direction they want to go, meaning if I come to people who don't want to admit that their evil, that their spiritual flaws have led to a situation where they need to concede some political independence for a while, at least until Hashem is back on their side, and the Nevi'ei Sheker says, oh, you don't have to, because we'll have peace, or we'll have victory, and Hashem will help us, and these Nevi'ei Sheker are helping them believe that, and helping them feel that, and supporting them in that understanding, so then they're actually mechablim. They're actually, when it says kishulim b'charavot, they're creating greater destruction, meaning there was the breach ahead of time. The shualim don't create breaches, but by running around, what they do, they create even further breach and disaster. So the Radak focuses on that, as these shualim, as these Nevi'ei Sheker, what they do is they foster an environment and an atmosphere in which the people lacking in faith are able to flourish and to feel good about themselves and to feel supported that they're actually doing the right thing. Pasuk Hey Lo Alitem Ba Piratzot Va Tigdiru Gader Al Beit Yisrael. You didn't, what you should have done is you didn't go in to the breach and try to build up the fence again to stand in the war on God's side. So Rashi just says it as Lo Asitem Masim Tovim Shtichlu Akev Ra'ami Lavo. Again, if we take them, I think it fits in nicely that if Rashi sees them as sincere, then what do you mean you didn't stand to get them? You thought you had a vision. But you don't do good deeds that would have maybe prevented the disaster that's about to come from happening. So even if somebody has a vision and they, in the wrong vision, misunderstand it, their personal conduct, independent of what the vision's about, should have been good. That's where Rashi understands it, which I think fits nicely with the idea that they really thought they had a vision. So what can you expect of people? How would Hashem say to people, you didn't do the right thing in terms of visions? They didn't understand that. But the Radak, I think, goes back the other way. And he says, no, the point is, you had influence here. And you use your influence. You use your influence in a negative way. You used your influence to support them and make them feel good when the Radak thinks they had the influence that if they had stood against them, maybe something would have happened. Meaning if Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel and all the Nevi'ei Sheker were of one voice, then the leaders of the nation might have had to change their ways. They might not have been able to stand and do what they wanted. So that's an important lesson in terms of always knowing the power of even a supportive role and even of just an acquiescing role. That there too, that if people stand up against their leadership, then their leadership won't ever be, always be able to do that. You have to be careful about that because sometimes you have to follow your leadership. So that's a very difficult balancing act. When do I follow my leadership because they're my leadership? And when do I say to them, you're so clearly off the mark that I object to this and I'm unwilling to be led by you here? So the Radak sees these Nevi'ei Sheker as having been a kind of a leadership in parallel to the officials of the city, and therefore they bear iniquity for it. And then he says that he thinks that the end of the pasuk of Lamod b'milchama b'yom Hashem is that you won't survive the upcoming wars on the day that Hashem is coming to punish the Jewish people.
Pasuk vav chazusha v'kesem kazav, they saw vanity or emptiness and falsehood and they divined wrong things. Ha'omrinu Hashem v'Hashem lo shlacham, and they say it's the speech of God and Hashem didn't send them, v'yichalu l'kayim davar, and then they wait as if it's going to happen, right? Part of having a vision is that you have to act as if you believe in it. So again, either you do believe in it, or you have to act as if you believe in it. So on Chazu Shav,
the Radak says that they know how to do magic to predict future, and the future that they predict sometimes comes true. And that's why people would follow their words and they would say, Dvar Hashem is with them, and that's why it's called a Chazon Shav. So the Radak points out the challenge. Right? If I were to predict that X candidate will win the presidential election because God came to me, well, 50% of the time I'll be right. So that would be a silly example, and our people nowadays would understand that that's not a proof of prophecy. But the Radak is saying that they were good enough at predicting various things that they were therefore able to lure people, and that's what Chazu Shav is. Chazu Shav is that they can lure people into believing them. Pasuk Zayin says, "Alo machazei shav chazitem miksam kazav amartem." But you have to realize, Hashem Yecheskel, Hashem is saying to them, you should realize that your visions are false, and it's you've said lying things. V'omrim nu Hashem, and here you say nu Hashem, ani lo dibarti, and I didn't say it. So even if you think they're sincere, I think the call is to say to them, well, think carefully about it, or reach deep inside. So that would be, if they're liars and cheaters and stealers, and they know that, it's easy puzzle to understand. If they're sincere, I think the answer is that even those who are most sincere and think that they're doing the right thing, that if they are to reach deep within themselves, they would see the self-serving aspect of it, perhaps, or they would see that they're not Nevi'im. They would understand that they've really fallen into something that's untrue and improper, and they would learn their lesson and they would recede from it. So since this is not changing as far as we can tell, Hashem says, because you've done these things, you've spoken falsehood and all of that, so now I'm prophesying towards you, I'm sending a prophecy about you. I'm going to send my hand, God is saying, against these false prophets, and they will not be there in Sod Ami. So Sodami means in the secret of my nation. The JPS wants to the assembly of my nation, because it would mean then Sod is those occasions when they get together and there's some kind of deep council that they have together. The Radak on Sodami thinks that the parish is like what Targum says, which is that they won't join the Jewish people, the general of the Jewish people, the people who are reasonably righteous, who will get Olam Haba, they will not join in that, and that's what Besor Ami says. Uchdav ve'Yisrael lo yikatevu, and then they won't be written among, and that would be the second piece of the same thing, they will be written among the righteous, ve'ladma Yisrael lo yavo, and then when the Jews return from Babylon, from exile, from Babel, they also won't be there. V'itatem kineshem lokim, and by doing that, in you seeing that none of the V'yei Sheker get to be part of the future that will turn better, Hashem says that should be a sign that false nevuah is not to be accepted and false nevuah is to be rejected. Gemara Ketubot and Daf Kufshi Ben Amud Aleph has an interesting story about Rabbi Elazar, that when Rabbi Elazar went from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he said, I've escaped from one thing. When he got Semicha in Eretz Yisrael, he said, I've escaped from two things. And when they wrote and when they taught him, no, I'm sorry, when they let him sit among the Sanhedrin to decide whether to do Ibur Chodesh or Ibur Shana, which is the way we adjust the calendar in terms of adding an extra month in Adar. And so nowadays we do it by a fixed calendar. But in those times they still did it by figuring it out. So when he was allowed to join in the deliberations, he said, I've escaped the third. And so what does he mean by the third? What he means is, these two, then more quotes, the Pasuk, right? These are the three curses that were listed to Nevi'e Sheker. So he said, I would not have been sure that I was free of these things until all of them happened to me. So, Sodami lo hayu, he thinks is Sodayu. Boy, that's an interesting topic of its own. The whole topic of figuring out when to intercalate the moon, when to add a Chodesh, was this vital and important topic. And understanding the way the universe works in terms of being able to apply it to Halakos and Eretz Yisrael seems to have been for the Gemara. There are other examples that I can't give right now, but seems to have been an extremely important issue for them. They call it Sod HaYibor, the secret of when to properly do these things. So he had escaped that. He's written down because he gets smicha, so that's a writing down. He's joined the ranks of those who were written among the Jewish people, and he's gotten back to Eretz Yisrael, so he escaped all of that. So Rabbi Elazar at least understands this pasuk as being a marking of whether or not you've been left out of the Jewish people. And it wasn't until he had all three things, which is a pretty high level to reach, that he felt comfortable to say that he had been spared the fate of these Nevi'ei Sheker, and the fate that's being told to them is that they won't really be able to be part of the Jewish people. They're really excluding themselves. They're being excluded by Hashem because of what they've done from real membership in the Jewish people. So therefore, he says, it's not that he really thinks he was a Nevi'ei Sheker because he didn't give any Nevuot. So he said, once you have that as the markers of what it means to be excluded, I wasn't sure if I was excluded or not until I got away from all of those things. Pasuk Yud Ya'an uVeYa'an, and why are they being excluded in this way? Ya'an uVeYa'an hitu et ami le'mor shalom ve'in shalom. It's because, and this is a phrase we see a lot, we see a few times in Tanakh, the Nevi'ei Sheker would say shalom, and there's no peace. They would say it's all fine, it's all good, when it wasn't. And because of that, v'hu bo nechayet v'hinam tachim oto tafel, the people are seen as building a flimsy wall, a chayetz, and then they mortar it, they plaster it with stuff that doesn't work. So the Nevi'ei Sheker are supporting or helping build these bad walls that will just completely fall down. Right? So that's the flaw, that's the problem that they have, is that they are helping, they are supporting, they are fostering the Jewish people, ignoring and not learning their proper lessons. Right? So, exactly. So I think of that sometimes when I see people say things casually and confidently that are against some Torah ideals. So the specific examples are always a problem because there are people who argue about them, and that's always a challenge, because similar challenge to what we have here, because different people argue about different things about what it means. But to the extent that somebody would take a position that it was completely anti a Torah point of view. So let's say somebody casually said, it's obvious, this is an example that probably nobody who's listening to these shiurim would disagree with. Somebody says, it's obvious to any reasonable person that there's no God. Right? A further example of it, there is no God who affects the world. So if somebody said that, and says it confidently like that, so then people might believe it, and the people who believe it are being led astray and led to believe that they don't have to believe in these things, right? Intelligent people now know, we now understand that there's no such thing as a supernatural God. I was recently reading something in which people, not Jewish people in the case that I was reading it, but people who see themselves religious took exactly that position. That it was clear and obvious that there's no active God who is involved in the world in any whatsoever. So you say that confidently, you say that as if from a position of intellectual superiority and from being having been educated and all of those kinds of qualifications that would lead people to take you seriously. So Pasuk Yud is telling you what's going on. So those people are leading the people astray. They're going to then for lead them in the direction of certain kinds of life activities that will be not the appropriate ones. They're building a wall around life, of how to build and construct a life that has no foundation to it and has no mortar to it, has no real way to standing up. So Pasuk Yud Aleph, Emor al tachet tafel v'yipol, tell them, the people who are doing this, that it's all going to fall apart. Hayageshem v'shotev, the rain will come and wash it away. Ve'atena avnei el gavish tilpona, and you, these great boulders, you will have. So, the JPS has, Atena avnei el gavish tilpona, you, O great hailstones, shall fall. Ve'ruach sa'arot tivakeya, and then these great winds will tear it apart. But Rashi, at least on avnei el gavish, says it's great hailstones. Rashi dealing with the question why they're called El Gavish. So El Gavish were the names of precious jewels. So Rashi says because these hailstones tend to flash or shine, so that's why they're called precious jewels. But basically, Hashem says I can send a storm, and the storm is going to tear it all apart. So it'll all fall apart. The construction will be revealed to have been faulty. And then all the people, it'll be said to you, where's all the construction work that you did? I am recording this year soon after the aftermath of the terrible earthquake in China, in which it all of a sudden turned out that the construction was faulty, or it seems to be the true, the construction was faulty in many of the schools, leading to much loss of life, and all of a sudden people are angry or upset. But to some extent, it's easy to understand how it is that you get faulty construction in the very simple sense of faulty construction, because it's easier and it's cheaper, and in the short run, you have to pay less for it, and people like that, and they make more money. So then it turns out, some event comes along, and it turns out that you've hurt yourself and hurt the people around you by the way you handled it. So here, in a metaphorical way, that's exactly what's going on here as well. It's more enjoyable and more pleasant to hear from a Navi Sheker who tells you everything is okay, and you're doing the right thing, and God loves you,
And yet, in some occasions, that's not true, and people's insistence or their preference for listening to those people is a problem, and the people themselves doing it is a problem. So now, in China, people are turning to the construction people, even though those people brought on the job for a lot less money and probably pleased a lot of people by doing that. Here, too, Hashem is turning to the Nevi'ei Sheker and blaming them for what they're doing. L'chein kolmar Hashem Elokim, uvikati ruach se'arot b'chamati v'geshem shotev b'api yiyev avnei revit b'chema l'chala. So all of these same kinds of storms are going to come. The wind, a hurricane wind in the anger of God, and a driving rain, and these great hailstones. It'll be torn down to the ground, and its foundation will be revealed that it was fake, and it was problematic, and it wasn't well constructed. And you will be destroyed with this going on, and you will know that I am God. So I would just point out in Pasuk Yud Daled, when the Radak comes with B'tocham, the Radak says, B'toch Yerushalayim, K'nivyei HaShekar Neheregu Ba B'Nifol HaKir Lo Nimlat Echad. He says that when the walls of Jerusalem fell, all the Nevi'ei HaShekar were killed, and none of them escaped. And this is what it means. So it's just kind of interesting that he jumps from the metaphor of a wall to assume that it's now a reference to the wall of Yerushalayim itself. I could have easily imagined that when Hashem says "Varasti l'akir," and then Pasuk Tevav as well, "V'chiliti chamati b'akir," that I will exhaust my anger. So when the anger is being put against the wall, I think I could have imagined the metaphor just being that it means when the wall being the belief systems that the Jewish people had. But the Radak is taking it also literally. "Uvatachim otot tafel," and those who plastered it with this fake plaster. And then I'll be able to say to you, you have no wall, and you have none of the people who were plastering that wall. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Nevi'ei Yisrael hanibi'im el Yerushalayim v'chozim lachazon shalom v'ein shalom nim Hashem. And what I mean by all this is the Nevi'ei Yerushalayim who are telling them that everything will be okay, and it's not going to be okay. So in that sense, you see where the Radak went with it. That because the kir is that Yerushalayim will be okay, and Hashem is promising that Yerushalayim will not be okay. So that's how you see and understand and can envision that that's what Hashem means. But I think you could have taken it more broadly. It didn't have to be that the Nevi'ei HaShekar would die in the destruction of the wall itself, but just in the sweeping away of all of this belief system, they will be lost as well. And the Radak points out, when it says V'chiliti in Pasuk Tevav, V'chiliti Chamati Bakir, the Radak says not only the Nevi'ei HaShekar, but Vegam Yisrael HaMachazikim Bideihem VaMekablim Divrehem Kulo B'Tocha UBachayra VaBara UBadever. That all the people who follow the Nevi'ei HaShekar will be swept up in this destruction, and will be swept up in these problems. So that's a reminder, and it's a reminder that doesn't often and easily get across to people, but it's a reminder that we are in fact culpable for our choices of leadership. And that what's being said here is that Hashem is saying that these people have chosen to follow the Nevi'ei HaShekar, and when their worldview is being wiped away, which is being metaphorized, turned into a metaphor as a kir, as a wall, they will be swept away with it. Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'ata ben adam simpanecha benot amecha hamitnabot milibehen v'hi naveh alehen. So now this is a parallel part of the Nevu'ah, but slightly different in that. Now he's going to prophesy towards, he's being told to prophesy towards Benot Yisrael, the women of the Jewish people. Now when it says mitnabot milibehen, they prophesy out of their hearts, it would seem like the same exact thing. But we'll see in the coming psukim that it's talking here about magicians or people who use magic to make prognostications. Pasuk Yud Ched ve'amarta ko'amar Hashem Elokim hoy lamitaperot kisatot al kol ati leyadai. So they mitaperot kisatot al kol ati leyadai means they weave or they sew. So the English here has pads. But Rashi seems to think kesed in Rashi's terms was more of like a pillow, like a small pillow, and they would weave it to hang on atzilei yadai, on the hands of the people. So again, atzilei, Rashi thinks atzilei yadai is, they would hang them on the, so it's not clear if it's the elbow or if it's the wrist, meaning nowadays we mostly wear things on the wrist, but there is a Tosfot in Shamus who points out that when it comes to atzilei yadai, the Targum has it as Mirafke yadai,
which sounds mirpake yade, which would sound like like the elbow. So then it would mean that they were hanging this rather than on the wrist, it would mean on the elbow. But they have these pillows and they would hang them. They have osot hamispachot al rosh kol kama letzodeid nefashot hanefashot tetzodeid na leamin nefashot lachena techayena. So what they do is they make, not only do they make these arm pillows wherever they were, they also make mispachot, they make kinds of hats, bonnets, things you wear on the head for people to wear, and these are supposed to be ways for them to predict the future for those people, and then they predict the future and they sort of hunt people in their predictions, meaning, at least according to Rashi, what it means is that they then use these as a vehicle of making predictions that they just make up. So Rashi has it as they would make these little kisatot, these little pillows or pads or whatever it is, and they would hang them there, and then they would do some kind of a magic there, some kind of fake magic there. Lefi ulemi, this is what Rashi says. Lemi shehem achafetzot omrot kesem tov. Lemi shehetzot omrot kesem ra. They say good to some people, bad to others, according to what they like, whether they like them or not. So this already would imply that they know what they're doing here. Ve'osot mispachot, and they would put things on the hats of people. And also, so Rashi says, lesodei nefashot, to hunt souls would mean that they hunt them to Gehenna, because they're helping. So how are they hunting them to Gehenna? So you could have just said, just by following these ksamim, they're going to Gehenna. But Rashi says further than that. Rashi says, because by virtue of the fact that they encourage people who are doing evil, and they tell them that everything will go well with them, and they maybe even do magic to help things go well with them, and they do the reverse to the righteous, because they're against them, because the righteous hold to a different worldview. So in that, they, again, help people, more people, follow that evil way, and that's what they're doing. They're hunting souls in that way. They are on the verge of being those who lead the souls into Gehenna, because they make the evildoers and the ones who are following the wrong path win. It would be as if I had a way to make all those people who commit murder rich. And so I support that, and I help that, and I foster that. So in the short run, those people are going to be richer, and they'll seem like they're the ones who win, and therefore many people will just follow them by virtue of that, and that will be, all of that will be on the heads of the people who started that off. So, you have sacrileged me, profaned me to, meaning Hashem, to the Jewish people. And you've done it in return for sha'alei se'orim, pieces of barley and breads, crumbs of bread, to kill people who don't deserve to die, and to help people live who don't deserve to live, with all of your lies to my people. So meaning that they'll follow their lies, and then they'll get a fate that shouldn't have been theirs. So Rashi says, p'toti lechem, the crumbs, is things that they would took as their reward. They would do it just for, in other words, they're doing these witchcraft and these sorceries and these spells of various sorts for crumbs of bread. And yet, for these crumbs, they predict death to those who don't deserve it, and they predict life to those who don't deserve it, and then everybody else follows along, and they believe that it's true, and that shapes the whole society. And all of this they're doing for it would be the same kind of a thing if you found corruption, and you often do when people get arrested for corruption, and you see the amounts of money that they did it for, and you think of the damage it did to the social structure of government. It's a very parallel, again, it's less bad, because that's only about government and society and money, and this is about Hashem and matters of true import. But it's a similar kind of thing. For $1,000, I created a corrupt society in which everybody feels you can break the rules and government doesn't work anymore. For yachasit, for relatively nothing. I'd also point out that this whole discussion of the crumbs of bread figures prominently in a halachic gemara in Erevin, Nafsad Samach Dalad Amid Bet. Halacha originally was, you can't pass by bread that you find in the road without picking it up, because it's bizuyokal, it's treating food improperly. But then there was a tradition, or there was a feeling that was only in earlier times. But nowadays, in their times, when B'nai Yisrael, when Jewish women, unfortunately, were all involved in witchcraft, and that's a striking thing in and of itself, the whole idea that Hashem takes you out of Egypt, Hashem shows you miracles, Hashem shows you only follow Hashem, tells you not to be involved in witchcraft, and yet, in the time of the Gemara, women, people, involved with witchcraft, and they can't resist it. And they think, well, these are powers. Why wouldn't I be involved with these powers? So that whole idea of the difficulty with which that it takes to uproot practice of witchcraft and sorcery from the Jewish people is itself a track worth following. But in any case, the Gemara says, nowadays, you have witchcraft, you can leave it because the food might be bewitched in some way, and therefore it might cause you problems. So then the Braita says, well, that's only true if they're whole loaves of bread, because that's what they do. But if it's partial crumbs, that they wouldn't do. So Rav Ami says Rav Ashi, but our pasuk says they would do it b'sha'alei silrim, which you might have thought, and uviv totelech, you might have thought, man, that they use these things in their witchcraft. So that's where Rashi gets this Gemara, because the answer that Rav Ashi gives is d'shakli v'agrayo. They took this money, they took those morsels of bread, meaning, so it's pieces of bread they wouldn't even use in their witchcraft, but they took it as their repayment. So that's where Rashi got his comment here, that's the way the words mean. Mishalei Selrim means that they do it for the payment of barley and bread, which is also, again, a very similar thing, right? I'd only use a loaf of bread in my witchcraft, but I'll take two pieces of bread for my payment. So it shows you how much they are reducing themselves. Pasuk Chaf, Lachen Kol Mar Hashem Elokim, Hineil Kisut, Kistotechena, Asher Atena Mitzodot Sham, Et HaNefashot Leforechot, V'Karati Otam Me'Azreel Otechem. When it comes to all these paths by which you are doing all these things with the witchcraft and the predictions and this and that, and I'm going to tear it off of your arms. V'Shilachtin Nefashot Asher Atena Mitzodot Nefashim Leforechot, and I will free the people whose lives you're hunting down like birds, meaning those for whom you're predicting bad things and saying, well, unless you avoid this or avoid that, and I'm predicting this for you, and you better be careful about it, so I will tear those off and free those people from submission to you by showing that this is all fake and this is all false. The Radak notes that some people read the pasuk as saying that these pads, these ksatot, these small pillows, were hung from the arms of the witches, of the mechashefot, not from the people, from the victims. So therefore, when Hashem is tearing them off, that might mean that they will lose not only the power of the conviction, of the convincing others with their witchcraft, but they might lose their arms in some way. This thing with the head coverings, and I will save my nation from you. And they will no longer be entrapped by you, and they'll know that I am God. So, in other words, Hashem is portraying, it's a nevuah to the witches and to the predictors and the prognosticators and the this and the that, but it portrays the Jewish people as entrapped by these witches, by these predictors. So even though they're not wealthy people, and even though they're not making a lot of money off of it, they shape our understanding of what the future could be and what's reasonable to assume about what the future looks like. And so Hashem really uses the idea that we need to be freed from them, those of us who have fallen into the trap of believing those rather than believing the truths of the real Nevi'im, so they need to be freed from them, and Hashem will eventually do that. Yan hach'ot leiv tzadik sheker, since you have falsely stricken the heart of a tzadik, meaning you're a nice, good, a tzaddik isn't a navi always. So you're a nice, good guy, you're keeping Shabbos, right, you're keeping the Torah as much as you can, you're doing chesed as much as you can, you care about the real, essential, important things of monotheism, believing in a single God, avoiding avodah zarah, not killing people, feeding the hungry, clothing the sick, clothing the naked, healing the sick, all those things. And you're walking down the street and some woman says to you, oh, you know what, I just found out, I was looking at my pad, it turns out you're going to die in a week, or whatever, some prophecy that will be terrible for them. So ideally that person would be self-confident enough to say, no, I believe in Hashem, I don't believe in this. But that's actually a question I remember years ago learning in graduate school, that the Ramban was once asked about that. Let's say somebody approaches you and says, I did witchcraft and I found out that X, Y, and Z date is a bad time for you to do whatever it is. Are you allowed to worry about it? Are you allowed to pay attention to it? And I believe the Ramban's answer was that you're not allowed to seek out such information, but that if the information comes to you unbidden, in fact, it is prudent and appropriate to worry about it. So here too, if you were to follow that opinion, you would have a situation here where you'd be appropriately worried about this. And Hashem is complaining about that to these Nevi'ot, to these false prophets and these Mechashefot, these witches, when Hashem didn't mean for this person to have to worry at all. Ulchazek yidei rasha levilti shuv midarko hara lehakayoto. And at least as bad, if not worse, is that in encouraging the Rishaim and tell him they're doing the right thing and God is on their side, it's all fine, it's all going to be good. So they are preventing the evildoers from recognizing that they need to repent, from recognizing they need to change, and that as well is a problem because then they could have lived. Because the rule always is, as Chazal is going to tell us later on, if only you repent, you can avoid almost all the consequences of your action. You can avoid almost everything. And so the failure to repent is tragic in that sense, and therefore the one who leads to a failure to repent is really closing off much more than just the question of will you get this punishment or that punishment. They're closing you off from really turning your life around and turning your whole future back to Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Achein Shav Lo Tachazena V'Kesel Lo Tiksam Na'od Mitzalti Lamim Yedchen V'Datan Kenei Hashem. So Hashem says, so therefore I'm telling you, you're gonna lose this opportunity. You're no longer gonna be able to say falsehoods and lies, and you're no longer gonna do your magic, and I will save my nation from you, and you will know that I am Hashem. So that's the prediction, is that there will come a time, whenever it will happen, but there will come a time when all of this ability to fool people and to lead people astray and to support a point of view that is completely anti-Torah and anti-God's way of running the world will fall away, and that is what Hashem is telling these people, so that they should, again, ideally, learn and understand and stop doing it, and that would be the time that we'd be hoping for and looking forward to. Have a great day.